Welcome to Parents' Perspective. Mandy, Ben, it's time to go. Beth stood at the front door and called to her kids. Come on, she shouted up the stairs. The counselors expect you to show up when camp begins. You can't be late. Just then, Mandy, 13, and Ben, 10, came clomping down the stairs, backpacks on their shoulders. Ben ran to his cubby in the hall closet. I'm going to bring my soccer ball, he said brightly. Maybe they'll have games. We could have uniforms and everything. Mandy sat down on the bottom step. Mom, do we have to go? She looked up forlornly. Beth sat down beside her and gave her a squeeze. Is there something worrying you, sweetie? She asked. It's just that I don't want to be away while Dad's gone. But honey, Beth began. No, if something bad happened, Mandy interrupted. It will all be okay, Beth replied. This is a camp where everyone has a dad or mom in the service. It's a good place for you and your brother to be right now, she explained. It's okay, Mandy, Ben patted her shoulder. I'll let you play in my soccer game. From a parent's perspective, what should we know about summer camp for military children? I'm Sandy Burt.
And I'm Linda Perlis. Our guest serves as an expert on the children of military families. Patty Barron serves as the Director of Youth Initiatives Department of the National Military Family Association, or NMFA. In this position, she serves as the subject matter expert on children's mental health and deployment issues, and collaborates with other organizations, programs, and initiatives dealing with issues affecting military children. She also oversees the NMFA Operation Purple program. Patty herself is the mother of three, ages 14, 23, and 25. Welcome to Parents' Perspective, Patty.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's very nice to be here.
We understand that kids with parents in the military can attend a free summer camp. Who's actually eligible?
All military children are eligible to attend Operation Purple Camp. We're very proud of our program. And what we do is we accept applications through our website. The applications go live the 15th of March. And every parent can apply for their child. Last year, we had approximately 12,500 plus applicants. And we had to narrow that down, obviously, to be able to have the kids go to all the different camps and have room for them. And so what we had to do was we had to use a priority system of how to select the children. And so first priority goes to those children whose parents are in a deployment window of 18 months. And by that, I mean the parent has received orders to go, is currently deployed, or has just returned from deployment within an 18-month window.
Why do kids of parents who are or will be deployed need their own special camp?
That's a question that we've been asked many times before, and I like to answer that question by telling you that military children are the nation's children, and they really are representative of all the different types of families that we have out there. So you would think, well, then why not just send them to regular camp? But one of the things that is happening with our military children is that they have unusual challenges on them right now. With the war on terror, with the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, we really have children that have been without a service member parent for long periods of time. Over and over again. And therefore, we like to bring them together in our very fun environment. I mean, who doesn't have fun at camp? And also give them opportunities to share their mutual experiences, to meet other children in the same situation that they're in, and really give them coping skills to handle some of the things that they're going through right now. That's probably why.
Does it mean that the camp has special things that other camps don't have to meet this need?
What the camp has is what we call Operation Purple curriculum. And it's a curriculum that we have developed at the National Military Family Association that addresses these very specific needs. We integrate the curriculum throughout the entire camp week so that it's not, today we're going to talk about your dad being gone. We really just try to make it so that the children have a very fun week of activities, hiking, canoeing, swimming, horseback riding, but integrated throughout that week are opportunities to have discussions, opportunities to share.
Are they at sleepover camp?
Yes, it's an overnight camp for all of the children, yes.
Mm-hmm. Patty, you've kind of touched on what kinds of activities the children participate in. Would you elaborate a little for us?
When you think of camp, you think of those traditional activities that I mentioned. But the fun part about doing Operation Purple nationally is that we get all sorts of different types of camp that apply. And some of these camps have very unusual activities. We had one camp that actually had a trapeze activity. The children learn how to be on a flying trapeze. That's pretty brave of them. I don't know that I get on a trapeze. In Hawaii, for instance, there's going to be surfing classes and snorkeling. And we've even had camps that have gone out and done some deep sea fishing. So there's lots of different types of activities that the camps offer.
Do the families apply to specific camps or to the program in general?
Both. And what happens is when our application goes live, you'll go to our website, www.nmfa.org, and you'll get to this map of the United States. Every state that is colored purple means that we have an Operation Purple camp there. When you click onto that state, the little sites will pop up, and then families can see where the camps are located. A family is not restricted to the state that they live in. They can apply to any state. The reason we do that is we understand that summers are when families travel. So it's a nice way to combine a trip to visit grandma with going to camp as well. But you are limited to applying to only one camp because we'd like to have as many kids go as possible.
What happens to siblings?
We're very proud of the fact that we try to keep sibling groups intact, and that's one of the guidelines that we give our camp directors is whenever possible, accept the entire group of siblings. The reason why we do that is sometimes it's a little bit easier to go if your brother's going to camp, but it's also nice to give mom or dad, depending on the caregiver that's left behind, it's very nice to give them a little bit of a respite, a little time either at home with the youngest children or maybe at home alone for a week and do some of the things that adults like to do without the kids.
If you have kids in a family that have special needs in some way, but they're also obviously eligible for this kind of camp, what do you do about them?
We welcome kids with special needs, absolutely. Most of the camps, I would say 95% of the camps that we use are ACA accredited, American Camping Association accredited, and they very much welcome children with any kind of need or situation. What we do want to know is that your child does have a special need because that alerts the camp that they're going to have to be prepared to help your child have the very best experience possible.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to continue our discussion on summer camp for military children.
Popular new book, Raising a Successful Child, Discover and Nurture Your Child's Talents, by Sandra Burt and Linda Perlis, is available at all major bookstores and on the web.
Welcome back to Parents' Perspective. We are talking with Patty Barron about summer camp for military children. Can we talk a little bit more about the benefits of this experience? You touched on it a little bit. Everybody has somebody who's going to be deployed or is deployed or something. How does that exactly work?
I love watching the transformation of the children from the first day of camp to the last day of camp. And at the very beginning, they're all very shy. They're not quite sure if they want to be there, although they think they're going to have a good time. But especially as it gets a little bit later in the day and it gets a little bit darker, the homesickness sets in. One of the very first things that we do at camp is we introduce the children to the concept of kids serve too. We feel very strongly that our children are serving right alongside their service member parent. What is their mission? Their mission is to develop and to grow and to learn and to have fun and report all those really neat things back to that parent that might be deployed because the parent wants to hear about it. And so when we introduce this concept of Kids Serve Too, we want to make that child feel really proud of themselves. And we ask them to look around and to understand that every other child there is going through the same thing and that they're serving as well. And that sets the stage for the children. The very next thing that we do, either that night or the next morning, is we have something called the Wall of Honor. And the children have all been instructed to bring a photo of their service member parent in uniform. And they introduce themselves, and at the same time, they introduce their parent. And we ask them, what makes you the most proud when you see this picture? What do you want the world to know about your parent? And what's a funny thing that nobody else knows about your mom or your dad? And that kind of relaxes the children, but it, again, connects them to each other in that, oh, your dad's a Marine. My dad's a Marine. Your dad's in the Coast Guard. My dad's in the Coast Guard. And it really becomes important for them to make that connection. As they go through the week and they do some of the activities studies that are centered around the Operation Purple curriculum, they start to learn that it's okay to maybe talk about these things. What we have learned is that children don't like to rock the boat at home. Therefore, they're going to keep a lot of those feelings in and not share those feelings with mom or the caregiver, especially mom, because they don't want to see her get upset. They don't want to see her cry. They don't want to see her get frustrated. And especially, they don't want to see her get mad. So they haven't had an opportunity to really talk about certain things. And when they get together and they discuss their mom or dad being gone, a lot of things come out that maybe they didn't even realize they were holding back. And by the end of the week, those friendships that those kids have established, those hugs that they're giving each other, we have a closing ceremony, and part of that ceremony is a T-shirt signing. Everybody gets an Operation Purple T-shirt, and they sign their names, just like you would sign a yearbook. That's a very emotional time for the kids. It's emotional for the counselors, because you have seen this growth for the entire week, and now this bonding and this recognition that I see me in you. We're serving together.
What happens after that week?
What we hope happens is that the kids stay in touch with each other. We give them little address books, Operation Purple address books, and we had to actually call our children about this because I'm 50 and I don't always know about texting and IMing and whatnot. And so I asked my daughter, well, what kinds of things should I put on there? She goes, well, make sure you put their IM address and a line for that and a line for this, because that way the kids can keep in touch through the kinds of ways that the kids keep in touch now. So we hope that they keep in touch with each other.
Do you find that there are repeaters, people who come back year after year after year?
There are kids that really want to come back year after year. We try to give every military child the experience of an Operation Purple camp, so we'll always try to look for those children that have not gone yet. But with the understanding that children are experiencing multiple deployments, sometimes the bright light at the end of the tunnel is Operation Purple camp, and so we don't want to turn a child away if we have room for them.
Are there any disadvantages to gathering all these kids together who have so many needs?
I'm not sure if I would call it a disadvantage, but you have to be prepared for the emotional reactions to certain activities. We had a camp in Colorado. They were doing a poster. The service project that they were doing that year was a poster that they were going to decorate that we were sending to the dining facilities in Iraq and Afghanistan. A group of girls, ages 10 to 12, they were working on their poster. They started talking about their dads. All of a sudden, it became a very emotional experience. They had to stop working on the poster. They were crying. They were really getting in touch with the sadness of having that dad or mom gone. We actually have behavioral health counselors that are assigned to every single Operation Purple camp through the generosity of the Department of Defense's Military Family Life Consultant Program and TriWest Healthcare Alliance. And we had to go out and find the counselor so that they can come and just be with the girls. And he spent 2 hours just sitting and talking and just really exploring where those feelings and emotions came from. So I would say that preparation for those moments is very important. We also had a very sad situation this past year, one that we were really hoping that we would never have to deal with. And while one of the children was at camp, their parent was killed in action. It was very difficult for everybody. But the camp handled it extremely well. And the mom came and had asked that nobody tell the child anything just yet. Obviously, she wanted to be the one to break the news to him. But the behavioral health counselor, the camp director, the cabin counselor was extremely important in that situation. And so that was handled well.
Did the child stay the rest of the time?
No, the child went home, right? Mm-hmm.
Has there been any follow-up to see if the benefits of camp experience do extend beyond the summer? Any examples of that?
We're really very proud of the fact that we're working with the RAND Corporation on a study on the effects of deployment on military children. And the base of the study comes from our campers. And part of what we're looking at are the benefits of Operation Purple Camp. And we have found in the pilot study that was conducted last year that there definitely are benefits to Operation Purple Camp. Children feel better afterwards. Mostly it's that increased knowledge and understanding of what it means to be a military child. As you know, many of our National Guard and Reserve units have been called up. And for these kids especially, being a military child isn't something that has been instilled in them from the very beginning, like maybe my children who grew up in that environment had. Therefore, being able to have that recognition and then feel proud of your service, that has increased their self-esteem a little bit around the deployment and around the fact that their fathers or mothers are serving in the National Guard.
It seems like this is a very helpful thing for kids. Has anybody ever thought of extending this to a two-week camp?
We haven't extended it to a two-week camp, but we have extended the Operation Purple program and to other pilots. And we're actually going to be piloting three different styles of camps this year. Besides our regular Operation Purple camp, we're also going to have Operation Purple family retreats. We've actually partnered with the national parks, and we're doing a long weekend, one at the Headlands Institute in Sausalito, California, and the other one at the Olympic Park Institute in Port Angeles, Washington. We're very excited about this. The focus is reintegration, bringing those families together after that service member parent has been gone for a year or so, and just helping to build those connections again. We're working with two groups, Focus Project out of UCLA, and they are coming up with our reintegration curriculum, and another group, Outer Edge Performance, that are going to be helping us to actually instill that curriculum at the campsite. The other pilot that we're doing is Operation Purple Leadership Camp. This is for selected teens. We're going to select 100 teens to go to three different sites. And the focus is a 10-day experience where they will touch on their lives as military children, their natural leadership instincts, and really build on that and come up at the end of that 10 days with a plan to bring something back to their community. And we're working with the National Outdoor Leadership School in that respect, also Outer Edge Performance, and a wonderful installation-based camp.
That's really exciting.
Have you found over the years that the kids who are involved in these kinds of camps do become sort of more leaders? Because it sounds like you're giving them something to be very proud of.
Many of them aspire to be either counselors in training, and then once they graduate and go off to school, come back as counselors for the summer. And that's what we're looking for. We really want our own campers to grow up and then come back as camp counselors, because no one understands a military child better than a military child.
Yeah, I did want to ask you who the counselors are in.
Most of them are college age kids, but many of them are military kids. And so they're the ones that really, I mean, they're the first ones at the door. When they find out we're going to have Operation Purple Camp here, they sign up to be a counselor right away.
We'll take a short break now and be right back to finish our discussion on summer camp for military children.
For an audio CD of any parent's perspective show, send a check or money order for $15 with your name, mailing address, and phone number to Parents Perspective, P.O. Box 42283, Washington, D.C. 20015.
Welcome back to Parents Perspective. We're talking with Patty Barron about summer camp for military children. Do kids ever arrive at camp with serious problems that are related to the parents' deployment?
I think anecdotally, we might be seeing an increase in prescribed medications. Mm-hmm. At least that's what we're hearing from our behavioral health counselors. But I don't have any hard data to back that up. It does seem, though, that there are more children on antidepressants, that there are more children on medication for sleep disorders. It would be interesting to find out if that's a cause related to the deployments or not.
I would think it would be so overwhelming for a child to have a parent gone for a long time and to be faced with all the news reports that we hear. And children get to a point where you can't shield them from that.
That's actually a really good point, that some of the stories that we hear from our campers are, it seems as if they shield themselves. They don't necessarily want to watch television and hear what's going on in Iraq or Afghanistan because they immediately think of their parent. Is that dad? Is that his helicopter? Was that an IED that went off and hurt him? And so they're kind of shielding themselves. The other thing that is important is that our military children are actually very resilient. They really are, and they're amazing kids. I could adopt every single one of them. What we find is that they also protect each other. And they'll be in situations where there was one child that talked about being in class and they were doing a study on a certain type of writing. The story that they chose, she felt was inappropriate. It was about the war, but in a negative connotation. And that child just really felt that the teacher should not have selected that story and did not have any problems at all letting her know that there were other military children in that room and that that story was too hard to hear and that maybe they should choose something else. So the kids will really stand up for themselves and they protect each other.
I'm glad they realize they can.
What happens to kids like the child who lost a parent or kids whose parents are finally out of the service? Are they still eligible to come back?
If a child has lost a parent or a parent has been discharged because of an injury, that child is still eligible to apply for Operation Purple Camp. We look for an ID card. That's really the definition of who we can accept to camp.
What's an ID card?
An identification card, a military identification card that all children that are considered military children have, starting at the age of 10, although it's a big deal to get one, let me tell you. That as soon as they turn 10, they're like, okay, are we going to go get our ID card now? But those children whose parent might be medically discharged and not medically retired don't usually retain the military ID card, and therefore they would not be eligible. But if there's openings, I think that what needs to happen is a parent can give us a call or can go ahead and send an email to Operation Purple, and we will always look at the different situations.
So all these people, for example, I'm thinking about the soldiers who were in Walter Reed who are now out of the service but are still, they've got a long road for recovery.
As I said, if they're medically retired, they keep their benefits and their children, I think, retain their military ID cards, and they definitely are eligible. By the way, I did want to mention that we do have a camp specifically designed for families of injured and wounded service members. It's called Operation Purple Healing Adventures, and anyone that's been wounded in the fight against terror is eligible to attend, whether you've been medically discharged or medically retired or still active duty. We're really excited about this year's Healing Adventure. We're hoping to have it in Alabama in August. And for further information, I go to our website.
What about resources, Patty, for our listeners who would like to pursue some of this information a little further?
We're very proud of our website, www.nmfa.org. On our website, you're going to find an entire list of lots of resources. You're going to find resources for children, resources for spouses that might want to go back to work, that might want to go back to school, just a myriad of things. We also developed something that came straight from the campers themselves, and it's called 10 Things Military Teens Want You to Know. It's a direct result of a question that we asked at camp. What are the 10 best things about being a military child and the 10 worst things about being a military child? And those answers have been compiled for the last 4 years, and we developed this toolkit that is geared to the civilian that comes in contact with military children. And not only does it explain whatever that item is, for instance, one of them is, we know about war and we know what it means. And so that's a direct quote from a child at camp. And when you open up that little pamphlet, it'll explain what that means, but then at the bottom, it'll have resources to deal with that particular subject. So we're very proud of that, and you can order those toolkits through our website.
It sounds like a must for every public school system because children of reservists are having this.
We've had great interest in our toolkits. We're really very, very pleased with the interest there. And I think besides the teachers and counselors at schools, coaches, Cub Scout leaders, you know, Girl Scout leaders, all of those folks would find it helpful.
Sounds wonderful.
The other resources, and I would encourage your listeners to go to NMFA because there are other wonderful organizations such as the Military Child Education Coalition, 0-3, the Military Impacted School Association, that also really deal with the issues of military children. There's many of them, and I don't mean to leave any of them out. So go to our website and look for them.
Okay. Well, you have certainly been a wonderful resource for us, for all our listeners. And Patty Barron, we just thank you so much for being with us today.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity and for the opportunity to remind everyone that kids serve too.
Our gift for our first caller is the toolkit that Patty Barron was talking about. 10 Things Military Teens Want You to Know. Just call us toll-free at 1-800-791-8573 with your name and mailing address. That's 1-800-791-8573 and mention show number 390 and spell anything that's not obvious. That's a big help to us. Tell us if you can what station you're tuning into.
Visit our website, www.parentsperspective.org, where you can even listen to a show of your choice. At the end of our program, we often thank individuals or foundations for their generous donations that help with the cost of producing and distributing Parents Perspective programs. Parents Perspective Incorporated is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Today, it is our turn to thank you, our listeners, for your tax-deductible contributions to our annual fundraising campaign. Please send your checks or money orders to Parents Perspective, Incorporated, Post Office Box 42283, Washington, D.C., 20015. Thank you for helping us continue to work for you. This is Sandy Bird and Linda Perlis. We're glad you could share Parents Perspective. Today's program was made possible with generous support from the SF Foundation. Our sound engineer is Nate DeLuca. Music for this program was composed and performed by Jonathan Burt.